Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hello and welcome to the Football Ramble this Monday. Ajax have stolen all the Premier League goals. It's Monday the 26th of October. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
They have. They've taken them all. Yeah.
The lost art of keeping defence.
Absolutely ruthless.
Can we all just blame Vish? Because he's been moaning for the last few weeks that the Premier League are having too many goals. Mm. So now let's just all blame him because it's all stopped now.
He's got what he wanted and now we're having to start with the Eredivisie. Who saw that coming?
That was more like it though. Defending, narrow wins, Arsenal being shite. It was brilliant.
Before we do get started with everything, just a quick reminder or to tell you for the first time in case you didn't know, we've got the first Ramble Meets episode of the season now available on Football Ramble Presents and it is well worth checking out. Because Andy Brassel sat down with none other than the man himself, the Arsene Wenger.
Oh, yes. Exciting stuff.
Oh, so good. They talked about his formative years coaching in France, some highlights from his two decades in North London at Arsenal. It will be a fascinating listen, so make sure you check it out. Just search Football Ramble Presents in your podcast app to listen and subscribe now. Have you heard any of it yet, Jim?
I've heard a little bit of it, yeah. Mm. I'm excited. I wasn't allowed to submit questions because they're all about his big coat. But obviously, Andy's a lot more professional. So, that's going to be a great listen.
Did they talk about the photo shoot? Remember when he had that photo shoot where he was at the end of a jetty in a full three-piece suit or lounging against a bar that time? He just looks uncomfortable in clothes, doesn't he?
Or playing beach football.
Yes, lovely.
He photographs strangely, doesn't he, Arsene, shall we say. Yeah. But yeah, check it out.
Yeah, will be definitely a good listen. Also, just to mention, Jim, you decided not to pay to watch Arsenal.
I would not pay the ransom. I do not negotiate with terrorists. I didn't pay. Mm. I'm not having it. I'm not doing it.
No.
I figure if enough people do it because you know they're over a barrel, then it will become the norm. And Did you pay
the money to the food bank instead, like the Newcastle
fans? I actually did give some money to the food bank over the weekend, but it was unrelated.
You think food banks are all right? You think they should be supported under this Tory government?
Yeah, I do,
actually. Get out, Jim.
Yeah.
Get out, Jim. Go and vote.
But there we go. Leicester beating Arsenal 1-0 last night. So you didn't miss too much. Although we did watch the highlights on Match of the Day 2.
Yeah. Mm.
And you did think, Jim, didn't you? Should have been a goal to Arsenal. You're going to say that. But actually, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I think it was a very unusual... situation because I don't think Xhaka is interfering. I don't think he's impeding Schmeichel in any way. So I think that's a weird one. It's a very different game after that. But it honestly feels like it was just written by like a sort of football manager kind of algorithm, that, doesn't it? Vardy coming on back from injury, scoring in the 80th minute.
Yeah,
like,
and he wasn't fully
Mustafi
fit, was
making
he?
A cameo and those two combining effectively. Like, it's just all so very predictable and frustrating. So
a lot of possession, just very little creativity to show for it. Very real prime near Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, in the last four games, they've beaten Sheffield United, but have lost to Leicester, Man City and Liverpool. So it's, you know, underwhelming business as usual at the moment. Mm. So Arteta's got some stuff to think about ahead of the next league game against Man United.
I do feel watching Arteta, though, I feel like he's slightly morphing into Pep Guardiola on the touchline. They've got very similar mannerisms with the way they sort of guide their team through a 90 minutes, I think. Yeah. Quite interesting to
watch. They wear similar jumpers.
That too.
In warmer months.
That too.
Yeah. The similar men. I mean, I do feel like, you know, if Arsenal like have a really good result against Man United, which at the moment is looking unlikely, if Arteta goes all giddy like Guardiola does, then we're in full on like this is some sort of weird kind of body horror thing going on here where he's going to literally turn into him.
I mean, there's nothing to stop them getting a decent result against Manchester United the way that they're playing at the moment. Quite spotty form. Like if Lacks and Obbs can sort their form out a little bit and start finishing things again.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see. It just is lacking a little bit creativity, I think, at the moment. And answers to that problem need to be found. And I think Aubameyang down the middle makes sense. But, you know, he's not going to listen to me, is he?
Mm-hmm. He's not.
No, he's not. Sorry. A tactical masterclass from Brendy Rodgers, though, wasn't it? So congratulations to Leicester. There's quite a few underwhelming games this weekend. So we're going to kind of...
Last time I did a show with you, you're like, there's nothing to talk about. There is nothing to talk about.
But I feel like there were a couple of games that just sort of leaped out that were more interesting. So we're going to get stuck into those, like Southampton beating Everton 2-0, which means Everton now have been beaten this season. They are still top of the Premier League table. But how good were Southampton? I mean, they really, really impressed me the way that they controlled that entire game. They dominated. They restricted Everton to getting crosses in the box, which is where they're so threatening, particularly with Dominic Calvert-Lewin. He was, what's the word? Is it ominous?
Anonymous.
Yeah, he was the opposite of ominous.
The opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, anonymous.
He was anonymous.
Ominously bad.
Yeah. Ominously anonymous.
A looming figure of underwhelm.
Yeah, he was. Did he have something like two touches in the box?
Yeah,
surprising
like
from him. But Southampton are a very, very good team, aren't they? And I think they've gone under the radar a little bit in terms of people's expectations of them this season because they finished last season pretty strongly. Hasenhüttl was clearly a very, very good coach. Danny Ings is an exceptional striker. And we're now seeing that he's getting the best out of Shea Adams as well, which is a big coup for them, really, because when they signed, there were reasonably high expectations. Obviously, he's come from Birmingham in the Championship. He scored 22 goals in 2018-19. So you think he's coming in for goals. He didn't immediately do that. So the temptation was to think, oh, maybe this just isn't going to work out. But his hold-up play is pretty good, and he's starting to work very well with Danny Ings now. So I think his role is probably changing a little bit and the expectations of him are probably changing a little bit. He's perhaps more of a foil for Ings, but obviously he's got his goal at the weekend. Hopefully that will kind of, it will start to open up. He scored that brilliant goal against Man City last season, didn't he? Which is amazing. So, I mean, that is we've got a kind of strike duo up front. That's so rare in the league now, isn't it? And like, it's exciting to watch. And obviously on his day, Moussa Dzeneppo is an incredible player as well. Like, he shows moments of absolute brilliance sometimes. So I'm quite excited about Southampton this season. And I'm actually not that surprised that they've won here. I was surprised that Everton seemed a little bit toothless compared to what we've seen of them so far. But I think a lot of that is down to Southampton controlling the game very well.
I think I get the feeling that this season is going to be all about squads who can stay fit. Everton, apart from their first 11 that the manager picks, obviously, they're quite light, I think. And that is only going to get worse through the season. Very little pre-season for most clubs in the Premier League. And as soon as they get a couple of absentees, Everton look quite an ordinary side.
And no Richarlison for the game as well. He was suspended off the back of the sending off in the Merseyside derby. And now Everton are going to have to, moving forward, do without Lucas Digne. And I feel like that was probably the main talking point from the game. His sending off, whether it should have been, shouldn't have been. What do you both think?
So I don't think it's deliberately reckless play. Maybe I'm naive and I'm giving Dean too much of the doubt, because to benefit of the doubt, because he's had a little nibble at Kyle Walker-Peters before he's actually fouled him. But he's got his hands up when he goes into him. So I think it's an accidental coming together when he's you know, hit his foot like that. But it's still really dangerous play. Yeah. And I don't think that absolves it from being a red card. I think it is a red card. And I think it will be a 4-game ban because they're going to appeal it. And I don't think they're going to win that appeal. Mm-hmm. That's what Ancelotti said after the game anyway. They seem to be furious about it. But yeah, I mean, going back to what you're saying about that sort of lack of depth, Pete, Richarlison missing means Alex Iwobi started in his place and he was hooked at half-time for Bernard. Mm. So that, like...
Oh, it's never, you know, nice, neither of those are particularly time, is it?
Neither of those are particularly inspiring either. So I know both have got qualities, but it does back up what you're saying there. Like when you've got those bigger players missing, perhaps this is what happens. There's less of a spark. Mm.
I think the thing is with the red card for Luka Dean, I think the reason why people are getting so annoyed about it is, Pete, you're right. There is this inconsistency of what is a red card, what isn't a red card.
What's getting checked, what's not getting checked.
And that's the thing is that I think it was Kevin Friend that was the referee and he showed the red card almost instantly.
Yeah.
And he did have a good view of it. He felt like he didn't need to go over to the monitor and check. And that's fine if that's how he feels on the pitch. And you know, we do want the referees on the pitch to have the final say.
Yeah.
We do want that. I think in this situation, though, it was more the kind of whole coming together of that entire challenge, because I think the reason why he gets sent off is more the swipe before the actual tackle.
Well, that's what I meant, like the first,
yeah, that's what you meant. Because like you say, Jim, there's no intent there. We're not saying that Luka Dean meant to hurt Walker-Peters, but the point that doesn't really come into red cards nowadays. It doesn't have to be intentionally malicious. It doesn't have to be intentionally out to hurt the player. I don't think many footballers would do that anyway. The case is that it was endangering the safety of the player. That's why he was sent off. But I think more so it was probably the whole situation rather than that exact movement that sent him off, if that makes sense.
Just clumsy, and like Dean was clearly fired up as well. Dina. He's a brilliant player, should be said. He's a really, really good player, Luka Dina. But
he'll be a miss though, won't he?
Yeah, he will be. He will be a massive, massive miss for them. And like I say, I think probably for 4 games.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of Southampton, they were very good and Ralf Hasenhüttl seems to be really forging something at Southampton. And I know everyone's sort of bored of the whole 9-0 sort of storyline from last year, a year to the day since that happened. But since then, seriously, they have been really impressive. I put them down as one of the dark horses for this year that could potentially break into a European position. And I stand by that. I did feel a little bit foolish after they'd lost their first 2 games of the Premier League, thinking that as a prediction. But now I'm glad that it's kind of worked out. And as a manager, I really like him. He's got this real presence. I've interviewed him before and he's big, strong, tall. I feel like he's got authority over the players and clearly a bit of a tactical genius with what he's doing at Southampton. And also,
hang on, wasn't
mentality
this the manager,
wise.
Wasn't this the manager who said you had a nice top on?
No, that was Daniel Farke.
It was a Farke. Oh. I thought you were giving him props because he'd given you props. Right, okay.
No, Ralf Hasenhüttl did not comment on my clothing, which makes me like him even more. Stuck strictly to business. I really think that Southampton are building something and I think they're ones to watch and they're one of those teams I feel like can beat anyone on their day. So let's see what happens. So Southampton being Everton 2-0. Another one of the standout games was the first game of the weekend. Villa 0, Leeds 3. What a victory for Leeds, because Aston Villa had been unbeaten heading into that game.
Yeah.
The only team that had won all four of their matches heading into that match. And then Leeds were just absolutely brilliant. A hat-trick from
relentless.
Patrick Bamford.
Absolutely relentless. They got so...
Hat-trick, Patrick!
You should write a headline. They got so many shots off. And if you're going to get that many shots off, you're giving yourself a very good platform for which to win a football match. But yeah, they just press so well. And I think I may have started the season by saying if they play like they did the first couple of games of the season, they will go down because they were leaking so many goals. But they've kind of tidied up. They've had a couple of injuries back in the side. Sorry, not injuries back in the side, but players have come back from injury
even more
and returned to the side. And they just never switch off. They're so intense.
Yeah. I mean, it all comes from the manager, doesn't it? That comes from the top down. But like, I think...
Do you think we'll ever find out the name of his translator? Because bless him, he's never named.
No.
In all the interviews, he sits there and he just gets on with his business. Also, what
this
I do find... What I find amusing about those translated interviews is that Bielsa seems to talk forever and then the translator just goes... Yeah, he says it was a good win. You're like, that's not all he said. Tell me the whole story.
Absolutely, yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe after the fact we should get a proper proper subtitles of what he actually said compared to what this translator guy's saying. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the translator, man. It is all the more impressive that Bielsa's got them playing like this without being able to directly communicate in the same language with a lot of the players, which is brilliant. But, I mean, Dean Smith said after the game, like, that... You know, it could have been worse, and it's such a credit to Leeds, isn't it, that they've managed to start so well. And also, this was a bit of a full storm, wasn't it? Because on the Friday night, this happens, you feel like, oh, are we gonna get another mad weekend? And then no, not really. Yeah. I think it's the form table that's sort of gone out the window, isn't it? The form table is now a bit mad. That's perhaps why. Yeah, I quite like it as well.
The unexpected nature of the Premier League.
Yeah,
who thought we'd ever say it?
I know, right? And Patrick Bamford as well. What a lovely chap. What a charming fella.
He's lovely, doesn't he?
I can't quite place my finger on what he reminds me of. I feel like it's...
Or
my finger. Yeah, my figure. I don't want to place my finger on Patrick Bamford.
Why not?
Very
He's got
clear.
A lovely figure.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's
so
his business. Yeah. Yeah, and my business. But
you have to do a nude stand-up set
I was
over the weekend.
Asked to do a nude stand-up gig over the weekend. Yeah, a lot of comedians within a certain price bracket were asked to do nude stand-up gigs. It's clearly some sort of wind up
right.
More on that as we get it.
Nice.
But yeah, Bamford, I feel like he's like
take your top
maybe your mate.
Get naked. Strip it off.
On video. What a mournful stripper tune.
I mean, there's only one button undone.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
How far do you want me to go with this? It's not really a podcast feature,
Magic,
is it? I
think Jim, we got
cameras on.
Get
them
on. So we'll get back to Patrick Bamford.
Aye, aye,
I'm trying to figure out what kind of person he reminds me of, though. Do you know, he's like your cousin's new boyfriend at a wedding. Do you know what I mean?
Lovely
fella.
Yeah.
Very polite.
I guess he's got an interesting background because he's a little more well off, I think.
Yes.
He went to a nice school. He got his GCSEs. So everyone talks about the fact that he can play the violin and stuff like that. So it's kind of...
him and Kate should do a duo.
Yes.
I'll tell you what he's like. He's like a posh farmer. Do you know what I mean? It's like, how can you work outside all day and
likes
sort of
dogs,
have such a...
Likes dogs, but grew up on a farm, so it treats them as the animal that it is.
Rather
than the friend.
Yeah.
But Dean Smith did sort of say, like, Aston Villa were lucky to lose just 3-0, because they were absolutely relentless.
Mm. Although, you have to say, though, for Villa, if it hadn't been for that goal cleared off the line in the first half, it could have been quite a different game. Yeah. What a clearance that was, by the way. I love it. Don't you love to see it?
Oh, it's brilliant.
Clearance off the line?
It's like the defender's equivalent of scoring a goal, that, isn't it? Aside from when they actually score, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, it's clearing off the line's got to be a hell of a feeling.
It's only better if you clear it off the line, onto the bar, onto your head and then in. That's more fun.
I'm delighted for Patrick Bamford, though, because coming into the season, especially with the signing of Rodrigo as well there was this fear that maybe he wouldn't get necessarily the opportunities that he's had so far, but he's played every single game for Leeds so far, and he scored 6 goals in 6 games now and already got a hat-trick in the first few games of the season. And he's really proving some doubters wrong, because what we've seen of him in the Premier League before, it hasn't quite worked out for him. And actually, I think in a way that possibly that signing of Rodrigo has maybe helped him, because when a new player like that signs, a club record signing comes in, you expect them to start ahead of you, don't you? And I think that's maybe just encouraged him to step up a little bit more and just prove everyone wrong even more so than maybe he initially intended to. And of the 3 goals he scored, my favourite of them against Villa was the last one.
Oh, yeah.
The confidence
Brilliant.
that would have taken. He had like 3 or so players around him, and somehow he finds that bit of space.
Yeah.
The footwork was brilliant. The finish was excellent. He picks the part of the goal that I wasn't expecting him to pick as well. I just loved that third goal. I thought it was brilliant.
It just looked like... It was... it looked like instinct, didn't it? But the instinct of someone who is really, really informed. Because as you say, I didn't expect him to put it there.
No.
And he's shot while you would expect him to still be sort of settling himself and picking a shot. He's already done it at that point. And I think that just comes from being so switched on, from being so in tune with where the goal is, because you're in that good form. And it's brilliant to see. I mean, he's 27 years old now, Patrick Bamford. I thought he was younger than that. And I think a lot of people thought that...
He's found a shooting boot to 27.
Exactly, yeah. I think he just needed the right place, though, didn't he? I think he was always, you know...
He just needed the right manager. Yeah. Bielsa, like, he doesn't barely speaks English, but he can certainly... he's definitely a confidence manager for the players who feel a little bit lost. Like, the way that he kind of... he was kind of farmed out all over the gaff, wasn't he? And to be honest, I think no one's more surprised about his actual goal-scoring prowess than Bielsa himself, because obviously, like, he didn't hit as many... his accuracy wasn't as up as it is in the Premier League when he played in the Championship. So, yeah, I'm glad he's finally at 27.
Yeah.
Finally shooting boots.
I just hope that he carries on, though, because we saw this last year with Norwich, didn't we, that everyone was questioning whether Pukki could do it in the Premier League, and then he did, and he started the season really well, and then it all kind of fell off a bit.
Yeah. But Norwich were terrible.
They were terrible, yeah.
Leeds are good.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. There's quite a big difference. But, yeah, fifth in the Premier League now after that win. This is dreamland for Leeds fans. You just only wish that they could be in the stadiums to watch these games, especially that one Friday night, Villa Park. What a stadium that is to watch football in, and especially under the floodlights as well.
Yeah.
Such a shame not to see fans, isn't it?
It's annoying, isn't it?
Even more so when you're seeing some of these games around Europe, like last week in the Champions League, and we're seeing a few fans in the stadiums there. Mm. It just makes you go, oh, just please let us in.
Yeah.
Pay 15 quid.
No!
A couple more games to focus on. We'll take a break and then we'll bring you our thoughts on West Ham City and, of course, that thrashing from Ajax.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm bored watching Newcastle.
Me too.
Yeah,
me
too. That was vicious from him yesterday.
Vicious from Kieran Dyer.
He was going for it beforehand.
I agree with him wholeheartedly, quite frankly.
But you don't normally hear pundits be that honest, do you?
No.
They're normally a little bit more kind of, how do you say it? Like more rounded with their opinions and kind of.
A little bit more measured.
A little bit more measured, that's the word.
Yeah, he's a player who refused to play for Bobby Robson, so.
And were they boring, Pete, yesterday?
Yes.
It's like your blues song. It's your stripping blues song you just sang. That's how boring it was.
It isn't one of our featured games we're going to talk about, and that is exactly why, although it did finish a 1-1 draw. Right, let's get to Betway's 4-to-score update, because before we get to the emails, we want to see how we got on. Entry to Betway's 4-to-score is free. Just to remind you, each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly 50 grand jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further terms and conditions do apply. And predictably, boys, sadly, we were out after game one. Well done, Marcus, who picked Danny Ings to score first in Southampton against Everton. Of course, it was James Ward-Prowse that got the goal. Luke, though, did get a correct result. He picked Raul Jimenez to score first in the Wolves-Newcastle game, which, as we know, ended a 1-1 draw in the end. Jacob Murphy with that free kick to equalise. Arsenal versus Leicester. Kate picked Harvey Barnes, who's in good form at the moment. Wasn't a bad pick from Kate, but of course it was Jamie Vardy who came on as a substitute to score the winner for Leicester. And game four is tonight, Burnley against Tottenham. Hopefully this is one where all the goals will come from, boys. 8 o'clock kickoff. Jim, you picked Son to score, so let's see how you get on.
Yeah, hopefully we can get 2 out of 4 at least.
Yeah,
that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Not that it matters.
Jimenez scored first after we've been, you know, picking this over and over again. Maybe the curse is broken and we can move on from it now.
Yeah, we'll be back with another round of Betway's 4-to-score on the preview show this Friday. Right, it's now time for this. Just even a show. Yes, we love hearing from you. Show at footballramble.com to get in touch with absolutely anything you want to say. I mean, there could be a petition for Jim to do Stand Up Naked if you want. You can keep those emails
happening.
Coming in. This is from Danny Owen, who says, "Hello, Team Ramble. About 5 years ago, while taking a well-earned break from my university studies, I decided to tune into a Thursday night Copa del Rey round 2 time for involving Las Palmas and some unpronounceable second tier side. Yes, my life was as sad in 2015 as it sounds, but there's a reason why I bring this to the table, Ramblers. The commentator, a man I've not heard from before or since, decided to end the first half in a rather unique way, adopting a cartoonish Italian style accent, not too dissimilar to the Dolmio man." The commentator quipped, "And that's all, folks. Odd. But imagine my confusion when he trotted exactly the same phrase at full time as well, accent and all. Is anyone else aware of this man of mystery? Did anyone else hear this? Or have any other listeners spotted any baffling attempts at a commentator's catchphrase? Thank you very much for your email, Danny."
That is weird, isn't it? I suppose Martin Tyler's got, "And it's live." Which is, you know, it's what it is, isn't it?
When do you choose that's going to become like your catchphrase? How does that kind of manifest itself?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it has to just come up
come up
naturally, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Presumably you can't give yourself a catchphrase in the same way you can't give yourself a nickname. Like, it just sort of has to happen organically. Yeah. And I think this guy is trying to give himself a catchphrase, isn't he? Because I can't imagine that, "And that's all, folks." Sort of comes up that
I'm glad
that
you
naturally.
Did it in the accent. I wasn't going to do it.
I think, you know, Dolmio Mario cartoon accent is fine, right? I'm sure any Italian listeners will be forgiving of that, I would hope, anyway. But yeah, I mean, I have no idea who this man is.
No, I've never heard of this
man. No, the Dolmio man.
You'd think that something like this would have been trending on Twitter. 2015, Twitter was big then.
Yeah. It would have happened, wouldn't it? Maybe this was like his one big shot and he just overthought it. Like, I need a catchphrase.
It's never been used ever since. Yeah. They basically just went, "Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No. Get out.
That's all, folks. Ah!" Maybe that was the "ah" was his producer grabbing him. Get out.
Well, he did it at full time. He just thought, do you know what? I'm fucked now. I might as well just do it at the end anyway.
Yeah. So Nathan Gisby has been in touch. "Hi all. Seeing the recent images of Marcus Thuram Googling himself for ID when Mönchengladbach played Inter at the San Siro last weekend reminded me of when I had a similar encounter. About 5 years ago, I met John Parkin in a situation where I needed to ask him for ID, at which point I was asked to Google him by his friend as he didn't have any on him. I then to explain that obviously I knew who he was, but I needed the physical proof." Needless to say, he left unhappy with me. Just let John Parkin in that situation,
yeah,
right? Surely. I mean, I'm no sort of doorman, but I think that's that. You just ask him for trouble there.
He doesn't need the beer. Parkin does not need the beer. He's going to tell him guy.
That? You dress massive. A little bit like a sort of provincial doorman. Actually, no, the club owner that kind of is hovering owner, around
yeah,
them,
yeah, yeah,
offering
just
free
hides
shots.
Behind the bouncers, yeah.
Yeah.
Ladies!
That guy, yeah, him.
I was with Karen Carney recently at a women's football game. And everyone knows who Karen Carney is, especially in the women's football world. Mm. And we were getting our accreditation and you have to obviously say your name and show your ID and whatnot. And it got to Karen and she went, hiya. And the woman went, it's Karen Carney, isn't it? And she went, yeah, that's right. She just forgot to say her name. But I did think to myself, oh, it's so awkward, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a little awkward.
Oh, God.
Oh, very awkward. Yeah, I know. I did love seeing that last week, the Marcus Thuram thing, because he had, basically the reason why they didn't recognise him is he had a face mask on. Because obviously everyone's got to follow the COVID protocol. So he tries to get into the stadium and they're like, who are you? And I love the fact that he had to get the picture up.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's annoying that, isn't it? You just got to be like, why am I the only person this is happening to?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone else was wearing a mask. You recognised all of that lot. Yeah. Why me?
Get a provisional driving licence. That's what I've got.
Yeah.
I can't drive, but I've got one for ID.
As ID. Yeah, I guess so. You don't want to take your passport around, do you?
No, exactly.
Yeah, necessary. show@footballramble.com. Get your emails into us. We'll try and read out as many as we can. Right, another game from the weekend. West Ham 1, Manchester City 1. Yet another game from West Ham unbeaten.
Yeah.
What is going on there? They lost their first two Premier League games and in the last four, they haven't lost and they've played City, Tottenham, Leicester and Wolves. It's quite impressive, isn't
Brilliant.
It?
It's just... David Moyes has turned it around from home, hasn't he?
Yeah, he just had a couple of days off. Lovely old job. But I mean, they rode their luck and obviously Fabianski certainly kept them in it. But I thought it was a really, really solid performance. I mean, until he lost Antonio, I thought they could go on and score a couple here. But
what a goal,
they
by
did
the way.
Yeah, amazing. You just got a Ruben Dias as like a wall. Yeah. Like, you didn't see this coming, did you?
You load-bearing prick. I like that. But I think part of the problem West Ham have had in recent seasons is that they just, for whatever reason, their kind of physical commitment to games has gone down. They weren't running that hard. They weren't, you know, they weren't doing the basics with the kind of level of commitment that you need in the Premier League.
Because the time gets to Christmas, they've got no chance of getting anything out of the whole season.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it will happen again. But I think clearly Moyes has got them just working harder and just playing harder. They've got a talented squad. They're always underachieving.
Antonio playing where he plays is just... He's just all over the place, in a good way. He just scares the crap out of people. Yeah. He's such a cute player, so tough to play against. His movement
cute,
is incredible.
Isn't he?
Mate, he is. I'd like a cute meet with Antonio.
Yeah. Jared Bowen's a very direct and very sort of committed player as well. And his energy has added so much to them. Mm. They're in really good form.
They look really organised at the back. They're five at the back. I thought they look really, really good. But I just, Kevin De Bruyne obviously coming on from the bench, that is an important return for Manchester City.
And a quick one as well.
Yeah.
They must be delighted that he's back as quick as he is. Mm. But then they've lost Aguero now again.
But I mean, what's Aguero given Manchester City at the moment? Will this be the season where he doesn't score 30 goals or something?
Yeah.
Probably not, I imagine, because he always does.
This is part of Aguero at City, though, isn't it? He does miss periods through injury, and they've dealt with it before, and they'll deal with it again.
Jesus will be fit in those situations. Mm. So it's a real issue for City at the moment because they haven't really got a striker. And yes, they can play Sterling in that number 9 position, but is it the same?
No,
especially when you're breaking at speed, and obviously Aguero not getting into the positions where he's receiving the ball from the quick players on the break, he's just not as quick as he used to be, and so he needs to play a little bit closer to the goal. But I just think Manchester City, this has been coming for. We look at these matches, and it's kind of par for the course at the moment. Manchester City, their recruitment over the past couple of seasons has been poor. You don't get a pragmatic approach to games. You get dogma from Pep. He's got one way of playing and he wants to play it. And it usually works out quite well. They get all of the possession. But as soon as teams kind of start to figure them out a little bit, it's getting increasingly easy to play against Manchester City. And there's a reason why Phil Foden's one of the most important footballers on the pitch for City. It's a sad state of affairs for such a talented team.
His goal was fantastic, though. And I think Joao Cancelo had a really... really good game. He was very lively, really, really stood out and had a big part in the goal as well. And I mean, it's easy to forget they spent £60 million on him. Like, it's crazy some of the players that haven't quite bedded in and taken a little while to settle. But yeah, you're right. It seems They seem just underwhelming this season, don't they? As they did last season. They haven't really kicked on, which is surprising.
I think mentality is quite a big thing, though, as well, Pete. Like what you were just touching on there. I think that prior to maybe last season, Man City breathed fear into opponents. Whereas I think last season, with the amount of losses they had in the whole campaign, and then the way they've started this one, teams are now facing Manchester City and knowing they can get something out of it. And that's a huge thing.
Yeah. Just let them have the ball, and they sometimes find it quite hard to break down players. As soon as they get a couple of goals, you've got to go out and play them. But so many teams are setting up just not to go behind to Manchester City, and it's frequently working for them.
I don't know. I think it's the other way. I think teams are a bit emboldened. They feel like they can attack City because if you score against City, City are as shocked by it as everyone else is, and then they don't know what to do because they're not used to it. They're used to controlling games in a way that they're perhaps not doing so well this season. But as you say, like De Bruyne is a big part of them controlling that midfield. So
it used to be a case where you'd think that regardless of Manchester City's sort of flaws in their defence, you could say since Kompany's left, that it wouldn't really matter because they would outscore every team. And that's probably what you could say about Liverpool now. Is yes, of course, Virgil van Dijk is a huge miss for them, but when you look at Liverpool's front three, they will outscore near enough every single other team that they face in the Premier League this season. So they'll probably be all right. And for me, probably still the favourites to win the league because of that, as long as that front three stay fit. Whereas when you look at City's team, with Aguero and Jesus out, of course, they still have incredibly talented forward players, but it isn't their strongest forward line. So that's going to be damaging for City going forward for the rest of the season, I think. Mm-hmm. And then you look at their run this season so far, they've only won one in four matches. So that's not what Pep Guardiola wants to see, or the City fans. It's not started as they'd expect. And when you look at them in the table, it just looks weird.
Yeah. I think that Pep, if he was allowed to travel, he would be on a sabbatical right now. He would have already left.
Yeah. Messi in January. it's interesting though, isn't it? Because with Van Dijk being out as well, and I think this was perhaps the case anyway before his injury, because you know Liverpool had a couple of weird results. I don't feel like there's a favourite at the moment. Like we can all look at who we think is going to win the league before the season starts, and kind of stick to that for as long as it makes sense. But looking at what we've seen in the season so far, nobody stands out as like an obvious winner, which is brilliant. Someone to run away with it,
and it is a very strange season. But I think there is no excuse for that chasing pack not to have a real crack at this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's there for the taking.
It is. I know the secret to West Ham's success under David Moyes.
Oh, was it?
Custard.
Sorry?
Custard. David Moyes' guilty pleasure. He was asked in a press conference that when he was isolating at home, he had to do his food shop online.
Right.
And they said, what was your guilty pleasure? What did you always have in the basket in your food shop? And he said, custard. I love it.
It's cute.
I love it. I love my custard.
Does he
warm
it in the microwave?
Adorable.
I want more information.
I want to know whether it's heated, because you have to heat custard. Cold custard, not for me.
Canned ambrosia or the posh stuff from Marks and Sparks?
Oh, posh stuff for me.
Like that
for you
stuff.
Yes, but for David Moyes, I get the feeling he's probably not fussy about it.
I wonder whether he stockpiled on custard.
Yeah, does he powder? Does he make his own?
Thing that surprises me most about it is that it's quite a bright food for David Moyes. I imagine he sort of wears sunglasses in a darkened room to sort of tone it down a little bit. You know, let's not go crazy.
Are you custard on like an apple pie or cream?
I would flip between. I like both.
What's wrong with a bit of Tip Top? Remember Tip Top?
What's Tip Top?
It was like crap cream. Crap can cream.
Well, there you go.
Tip Top.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah.
It was whipped cream?
No, it was thin. It was almost like It was UHT cream in the 90s.
In a can.
It was about the time.
In like an aerosol?
It was. No. It was just a poured Tip Top can.
Right.
It was very working class.
Probably delicious.
It was pre-cloudy lemonade, pre-posh custard from Marks and Spencer's in a carton. It was pre all that jazz. Pre-ambrosia rice. It was pre all that.
Oh, lovely. David Moyes eating a bowl of custard. What a lovely sight.
And just grinning away. Just that's his happy time.
His best
eating it with a wooden spoon with three bears. Dressed as a schoolgirl.
Is it like...
What a fetish.
Jules, did he specify what he likes it with, or is it just a bowl of custard?
Yeah.
Not that I've seen, unfortunately. No. I just saw a tweet from a journalist that said, I asked David Moyes what his guilty pleasure was, and he said custard. I love it.
I just, I've got a wet room where I just sit down and just cover myself in it. Thrash around like a big slug.
A custard bath.
That's how he's turned the fortunes of West Ham around. Yeah. Just these big custard baths. It's his me time. That's where he thinks.
Oh, right. We've got to Ajax 13, Venlo 0.
Bit much, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot.
See,
it was a lot.
Now I see what Vish means by too many goals. That's too many goals. Just behave yourself, Ajax. Yeah. Come on.
I don't know if you saw the highlights, but my God, Venlo had somebody sent off, I believe, 4-0, but still, come on.
Does there come a point in these games where, as footballers, you reckon they feel a bit bad, but they think, well we've got to keep scoring because, like, we can't not. I was actually on air on BT on Saturday when this game was on, and I was told 4-0, they've had a man sent off, this could be anything. And I was thinking, yeah, it could be, but yeah. We've seen lots of games and lots of teams go down to 10 men and it's fine.
The Spurs match last week.
And then the next thing you know, I'm being told in my ear, because we didn't have a screen for this game, so I'm just being told the score in my ear. And by the end of going off air, it was 12-0.
Yeah.
And then the next time I checked my phone, I saw 13. I just thought, oh, God, it's not nice, is it?
It's not premium, is it?
I mean, I watched the highlights and Lucina Traore scored the last goal and celebrated like it was the first.
Oh, no, really?
Like, Daily Blind scored a pretty great goal and they were all celebrating like, yeah, this is amazing. Look, we're thrashing them. It didn't look like those Ajax players felt bad about the whole thing, to be honest. There's also a really strange situation where, I'm sure there's an explanation for it, but I have no idea what it is, where there was a car in a box in the stand.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Yes. It almost looked like a big matchbox car, but like an
actual
car. It
looked like
car.
It had curtains.
Was
it? Like, it looked like it would just cut like a little peep show, but a car.
Was it a prize for something?
I guess that's the most logical explanation, I suppose, but
why,
I have no idea.
Why is it
elevated? Yeah.
How do they get it there and how do they get it out?
It's like the Italian match where they brought that the scooter in, didn't they? Do you remember?
The fans threw a scooter at someone.
Yeah. Amazing.
Pretty amazing that.
Yeah, what is it doing there?
No, I don't know how it got in. Must be a crane, surely. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, do they get a crane onto the pitch and then put the car into the box?
Maybe they did it at 4-0.
Be
like, let's try and change the narrative of this. Let's get everyone talking about this car.
Oh, look at the car. There was a for the Venlo squad is a player called Arjen Svinkels, which I very much enjoy.
I love that.
Little Arjen Svinkels.
There we go. Ajax 13, Venlo 0. Let's see how they get on in the Champions League this week. They've probably used up all their goals already, so no need. Mm. Right, this is a great story. We all love talking about Alan St. Maximum. He's always doing something interesting, even if Newcastle are playing really boring football, according to Kieran Dyer. his bricklayer mate, who's been playing in Australia, has signed for Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean,
like this.
It's... I mean, he's very much a footballer that's done a bit of bricklaying rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
It's not Dave on the site who's a bit cheeky with the ball. But look, Newcastle United's game plan seems to be just keep Alan St. Maximum happy, and this keeps Alan St. Maximum happy. So well done them.
I like this story, though.
So
basically, Alan St. Maximum's friend who plays out in the Australian fourth tier, his name's Florent Indalecio. He's a French player, signed to Newcastle's under 23s for the rest of the season. He was also working part time as a bricklayer alongside the football, obviously, to get a bit of money in at the same time. And he'd played with Alan St. Maximum at the St. Etienne Youth Academy. Alan St. Maximum basically said, come on, get him over here to train with us. So Steve Bruce says, all right, we'll have a look at him. So in training, he scores this bicycle kick, which is quite... any bicycle kick's impressive. Jim's not so sure.
Well, he was completely unmarked. And you're right, any bicycle kick is very impressive. I could not do it. But he was very unmarked.
There was a player on guard, let's say.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good finish. But again, it was in training.
Yeah, but it sold it to Steve Bruce. He thought, you know what, he's got a bit of talent, this boy.
I love it. I mean, it's goal, isn't it? Just happening.
Yeah, he did do quite a lot of bicycle kicks in goal one. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but I think for a bricklayer, if you check this guy's Instagram, he spends a lot of time tooting around Dubai in a Ferrari. So I don't think it's a rags-to-riches story necessarily.
I sold it as one. You've ruined it, Pete. You've absolutely ruined it. A nice little story, though. He did say when he moved out to Australia to play football out there, he didn't speak a single word of English. The only really things he knew how to say were, well, he did speak a single word. He could say, hello, how are you? So that's maybe, four words?
Yeah. So he basically just learned loads of Australian swearing. I can't wait. I hope this guy's a success. He's going to be great.
Yeah, he said, I learned English on a construction site with my boss and all the bricklayers.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wonder whether Aussie construction sites are similar to the English ones. Any Aussie listeners, can you write in and let us know what it's like?
Yeah, let's assume so. I mean, there's a. I have quite a few Australian friends, so I've learned some of their ways.
Go on.
And there is a phrase meaning, I'm not here to muck around, which is, I'm not here to fuck spiders.
What?
What's the
no idea.
Right.
No idea.
Interesting.
Presumably, this is, you know, Florin Indelaceo's, you know, MO as well. Yeah,
He's not here to fuck spiders.
He's here to earn a contract.
Oh, I love that.
It's great, isn't it?
Oh, come on. Send us in some more great stuff from a construction site if you live out in Australia. Any more of those sayings?
No, this might be the most dangerous call to arms we've ever put out.
Do you not get enough on your DMs?
I did not request them to my DMs. Show @footballramble.com.
Do you like custard, Jules?
Do you want to be gunged in custard?
Gunged in custard.
No, I don't. Right, we'll leave it there for today before I get even weirder. Tonight, it's Brighton against West Brom.
Oh.
14.95?
All the Albions. Well, two of them.
Two of them. $14.95? You going to pay it?
I'm certainly not paying.
I'm not on the short $14.95
for Brighton West Brom.
Don't think anyone will. Not even me. Also, Burnley against Tottenham. Hopefully, we'll see some goals in that one. Tomorrow's show, Marcus, Luke, and Vish are going to be here to look back at those two Premier League matches. They'll also start previewing what's happening in the Champions League this week. Should be another exciting week. And that's all from us. Pete, say bye.
Au revoir. Le Jim. Cement.
Oh, Jim, say bye.
Bye.
And bye from me and my custard bath.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.